Praise God. We've been looking at 1 John. And I've just been getting excited about 1 John. And you say, well, you're still there. I know. We're still here. We're taking it slowly. But, you know, it's okay. Sometimes we got to get a hold of what the Father's saying. Because I think John here, he is giving a letter to people after 50 years of walking with Jesus, walking with God. He was faithful to remember the words of Jesus. And he very carefully, I believe, and very purposefully brought his heart to the people. He's saying, listen, there's a place of fellowship in him where you can know him. Where you know him like no other. And you can say that you know him, but if you're not walking in the light, you don't really know him. Amen. We can walk in the light of what God has said. And so there's some things here that John shares, of course. It's much of 1 John, also pictures over in the book of John some things, but here it's a very friendly and a very fatherly letter. And John reflects on his ministry, his walking with God for these 50 plus years. It's a very, it's somewhat informal in his writing. And he brings about his authority as an apostle of God. He says, you know, John's, you know, lived the longest. He wasn't martyred. See, 20 years before approximately, this is written approximately 85 A.D. There's discrepancies over exactly when, but that's kind of what we're settling on for now. And about 20 years before that, Peter and Paul had been martyred. So it gives you an idea. Here he is, another 20 years. John is being faithful to what Jesus asked them to do in Matthew chapter 28 before he left. He said, teach them the things that I've taught you. Make disciples. Tell them what I said. And John has been very faithful to do that. He says there in that first verse, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. John is stating, I am an eyewitness to Jesus, to this very manifested life. I saw him, I heard him, I walked with him, I witnessed the way he lived. He is something else. He's saying the life was manifested. The life, the very life of God. You know, over in John 1, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was there in the beginning when everything was made. There was not anything made that was made. And in him was life. In him was life. And that life is the light to the world. There was a life, there was a light on the inside of Jesus, and he was manifested. And so that's what we've seen, we've heard. Verse 3 says, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, in these things I'm telling you, I'm writing them to you so that your joy may be full. Oh, there's something about remembering who Jesus is. There's something about knowing him, fellowshipping with him, that brings a joy unspeakable and full of glory. When we bow our knee and we receive Jesus into our life, you know, we talked about where John had mentioned those that were newly saved, the children. I write to you, children, your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. And how many remember when you turned to Jesus and you knew, maybe it was the first time you realized, my sins are forgiven. Oh, what a weight off. That weight, many people have talked about that. You know, that weight falls off, doesn't it? And we receive a new life, that new nature on the inside that can now fellowship and walk with God. Oh, hallelujah. I think this is an awesome letter. It takes time to really dissect some things. But, you know, he was saying to the young man, you've overcome. You're a conqueror. Amen. We had said that. Young man, I'm writing to you, young man, because you have overcome the wicked one. Hallelujah. You're a conqueror. You've overcome. You've prevailed. You got the victory, in other words. He's saying you've won the victory. You've got a hold of the Word of God. And you defeated the wicked one. Victory is yours. The truth has reached you. The Word of God is growing in you. Glory to God forever. And then he says again to the fathers, I've written to you because you have known him who's from the beginning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said it a couple of times here, writing to the young men, writing to the fathers, writing to the young men again. He's making an emphasis. He's saying, there's a place in the Father for you. There's that place of fellowship. And we all go there, and we know we have some prayer times here even. Come to prayer. Amen. Get to know the Father. Some of the teachings that John has stressed throughout this book, of course, is love, light, knowledge, life. And he also brings some warnings to the people. And I'm not saying there's not anything else, but these are some of the main things that we see as we, you know, maybe as you read through 1 John and as you look at it, you might see some of these things. You know, the word knowledge is named, depending on what version you're reading, about 39 times through here. He said, I want you to know something. You can know him who's from the beginning. You can know this Jesus that was manifested. You can know him. Now, don't come and tell me that you know him and not walk after the light. He said, you don't know him. If you're not walking after the light that you have heard, you really don't know him. You may have confessed him as Lord. Maybe you surrendered to Jesus, but you don't yet know him. There's a place of knowing him. There's a place of walking with him and walking in that light. And, you know, when we walk in darkness habitually, or we habitually sin on purpose, you know, we're just walking in sin or living in sin, we are in danger. The Bible says it's dangerous. It's dangerous ground. God's Spirit does not always strive with man. Now, he'll strive with you as long as you don't say it's okay. He'll walk through hell with you. But when we say, oh, God doesn't mind, you know, me drinking on the weekend all the time, getting drunk, you know, it's no big deal. It's just a little alcohol, just a little drugs. You know, it's just on the weekend. That's the only time I really do it. You know, just on the weekend. It's all right. No, it's not okay. He said, let's walk in the light. You'll know him. You know, you don't really know him. You might say you do. But John says, you don't know me. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light, what is he is in the light? We have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, and so if we don't, you know, we say we have fellowship with him, but we're continuing in darkness, or you're habitually in sin, you don't know him. You're not practicing the truth. That's obvious. But we don't really know him. And that's what he's trying to get us to understand here in 1 John. You can know the Father. Why? Because the Father cares about you. He wants to take care of you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to hold your hand. If you have a problem or trial in your life, he wants to take it, hold together with you and defeat that. And bring you out as a conqueror. Hallelujah. Praise God. He wants to bring you out as that overcomer. He wants you to prevail. He wants you to get the victory. But there's a place in Him that we have to go to. We have to acknowledge Him. We have to trust Him. We have to resist the darkness and allow Him in and continue to move in that direction toward knowing Him and walking with Him. And really, that's my desire. I want to walk with God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to walk behind Him. I don't want to run out in front of God, but I want to walk with Him. Amen? And He's saying here, He's really describing, how do you know Him? Anybody ever know anybody? Oh, I know God. You know, and you watch their life a little bit, and you realize they don't really know God. They know about Him. They may know of Him. They may have talked to Him, but they don't know Him. They may have even confessed their sin, but their heart is far from Him. Jesus said, not all who call Lord, Lord, cry out, Lord, Lord, are going to be a part or enter into the kingdom of God. But those who do the will of my Father. I want to do the Father's will. I know you do too. Amen. And as we continue to walk with Him, provision has been made. If you commit what? A sin. He said we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Not if we're continuing in sin and we just keep doing it, you got to repent. There's repentance, yes. You can turn to God if you're living in a sin and continually in sin. But don't tell me, you know, he said, don't tell me. John says, don't tell me you know Him. You don't know Him yet. Hallelujah. That was good anyway, wasn't it? Hallelujah. But you can know Him. This is the hope that John is placing here. He's warning them, don't draw back into darkness. Don't live in darkness. Don't live in sin, but live according to my truth. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And in the fifth chapter, he said, my commandments are not burdensome to you. It's not a big deal. It's not hard. It's not harsh. Sometimes we say, oh, it's so hard. And some things we face are hard. And some things are difficult to face. But His commandments, He says, are not, you know, it's not a grievous thing for us to obey His commands. It becomes a joy because we love Him. Amen? And so that's what we've been talking about here in 1 John. And this morning, very quickly here, I'm not going to be real long this morning, but I got a couple of verses I think we can look at because we were talking last week, don't love the world or the things in the world. If we love the world, then the love of the Father is not really in us. In other words, we're not to be divided. We want to love God. We live in the world, but how many know we're not of the world system? See, the devil is the god of the world system around here. But God is still God. He is Lord of the earth, Lord of heaven, Lord under the earth. And when we make Him Lord, He's Lord of us. Amen? Hallelujah. That's the good news. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world's passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. And we can come to the place that we trust Him. We can cast our care upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. How does the enemy really make us devourable? He tries to deceive us, doesn't he? He tries to trick us in our mind. He tries to get us thinking on things that are not so and to worry. But the Bible says that we can cast our care on Him. Sometimes it's good, I think, to sit down and to say, okay, Lord, what am I not really casting on You? Is there something in my heart that I'm hanging on to that I haven't given You the care of? I have to do that. You know, we all do, even sometimes in prayer, don't we? You know, because we can be burdened for people, but we have to cast the care of it on Him. Knowing that He's faithful. Knowing that He's faithful what to perform His word. Glory to God. And so there's some warnings that He gives and verse 18 and 19 of the second chapter. Let's just read that for a minute. It says, little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that is the last hour. And then verse 19, it says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Hallelujah. Why? Because the enemy had come. He was already deceiving them. They were not truly serving him. They hadn't really committed their heart to God. John is saying, hey, if they had been of us, they would have stuck this out. But they decided to, you know, not really. They hadn't really committed to God. And what's interesting about this is the very word, I'm not saying it's alluded to other places, but the word Antichrist occurs only in the epistles of John. Did you know that? John's the only one that mentions them here in 1 John, that very word. And now he referred to the Antichrist as a specific person, Paul did, in Thessalonians. He referred to him as a specific person, but the very word Antichrist is only in the Epistle of John, which is very interesting. I thought it was interesting anyway. I'm not saying it's, you know, but he's the one that writes. It's not even in the book of Revelation, but it is in 1 John here. And then over in Thessalonians chapter 2, let's look there for a minute, because Paul mentions him. 1 Thessalonians, or 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 and 4. Verse 3 and 4 says, this is, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will come, unless that day will not come, unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, and the son of perdition, talking about one man. And many believe, you know, the Antichrist, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. How many ever heard that before? I am God, right? Who started that? The enemy started that, didn't he? The devil did. So, well, where did he start that? Well, way back in the Garden of Eden. What did he tell Adam and Eve? He says to Eve, he says, oh, if you eat of this fruit, you'll be like God. The lie was they were already like God. They had been created in his image. They had his nature. They were clothed with the glory of God. They were already like God, created in his image, weren't they? Amen. So the lie was, you're not created. You're not like God. How many have ever had the enemy come to you? Well, you're not very much like Jesus. No, your nature on the inside of you was changed. When you received Jesus, the inside man, the inward man, was changed. It went from darkness to a place of light where God could fellowship with you on the inside, which is what he wanted from the beginning. He had that with Adam and Eve. Remember? He'd walk with them in the cool of the day. Can you imagine? Here comes God, his presence, he himself. And they walked with him in the cool of the day, just talking with him, conversing with him. They lost that place. They talked with him in their inner man, but they also talked with him and walked with him on the outer man. Now, we're going to get that one day, won't we? We're going to get a glorified body, but we don't have it yet. But on the inside, we've got him. There's that place in there that's been changed, that new nature that we received when Christ came in. And that is something that John points out. You know, he says, you know, So here we see some things that Paul said here. The Antichrist is the one who opposes and exalts himself above all that is God or that's worshiped. He's saying, don't get deceived by the enemy. It's really what John is saying here. He says, here it says, opposes to lie opposite. That is, be adverse, adversary, be contrary, or to oppose. He is opposite and contrary to all that is called God or that is worshiped. That's the Antichrist, isn't it? This gives us a little insight, a little bit, of what he's like. He's against God. How many know that spirit's already in the world? Amen. In other words, they're against what God wants. How many have experienced some of that? Or you see some of that in the world today? We are being opposed. It says he exalts himself, didn't we hear in verse 4? He exalts himself above all that is called God, or that's worshiped. Hallelujah. In other words, when we look this up, him exalts himself. It's a compound Greek word. If you want to look it up in the Strong's, it's G5229. But to raise oneself over, to exalt yourself, to be exalted above measure. I am above all that is called God, and that includes Jesus. Oh, how many ever heard that before? Remember what Isaiah said. You know, he said, how you're fallen, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How are you cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? You said in your heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. See, this is the same thing that was the enemy had at the beginning. How many know sometimes his tactics, they just don't change? He's kind of, you know, he's limited. You know, he used some of the same tricks. He's pretty good at what he does. He brings deception. But how many know we don't have to be deceived? You don't have to. When we look here in 1 John, the next verse, verse 20. I'm going to close up here shortly, but praise the Lord. Verse 20, but you have something. You have an anointing from the Holy One. If you're really born again, there's an anointing in there. There's a presence that lives in you. You've got your nature that's been changed, and the Holy Spirit, what? He regenerated your spirit to life. Hallelujah. There's the life of God in you. There's an anointing in there. There's a presence of God that's in there, and you know all things. He said, I'm not writing to you because you don't know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. See, on the inside of us, there's a witness that comes. There may be an enemy. He may be saying, hey, you could be like, how many hear that in the world sometimes? You'd be like God. Some people say that. Well, I'm my own God. I got a guy I work with, and he talks like that, you know. Well, I can save myself. You know, I can be good myself. Well, if that was the case, we'd have a whole lot more goodies, wouldn't we? Amen? Goody, goody two-shoes out there. But we know that's not true. The Bible says we are lost in sin. They're self-deceived, broken. They don't have a father. They don't know God. God is not their father. And when we don't know him, that death nature can take us down the wrong path and into sin more and more. Now, this is the spirit of the devil himself. The first war in heaven was what? When he tried to exalt himself above God. He tried to make himself something. The devil himself, Lucifer, he was called at that time, the son of the morning. I will ascend to the heights of the clouds. I want to be like the Most High. That's Isaiah 14, 12 through 15. We see that. He said, I'm going to exalt myself. I'm going to be like God, myself, me. See, there's something in there, huh? Amen? When we get me focused or focused on ourselves, what we're going to do instead of what Jesus has done in us. Amen. We get into trouble. See, we keep our mind. That's what John's saying. Hey, get your focus off that. Don't worry about the Antichrist so much. You've got you know the truth. The truth is in you. You've got an unction from the Holy One. It says, who is a liar? But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Hallelujah. How many are glad that you have acknowledged the Son? You know who Jesus is. Those that have denied him, they don't know him. But how many know there's still hope? That's why we're preaching the good news is Jesus died for you. Jesus was risen again. Jesus paid a price for your sin. Jesus was your substitute. All you have to do is believe. You have to believe that he paid the price. He is the sacrifice. That he was raised from the dead. I believe that. And you say, Jesus, be Lord of my life. You can be saved. There's still hope for those that deny him. But he said, don't be of those. If if people continue to deny him, of course, they don't know him. They have nothing to do with him. They are lost and without God in this world, the Bible says. They are under the control of sin. Therefore, let that abide in you or live in you, remain in you, which you heard from the beginning. If that you have heard from the beginning, if what you've heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. Abide, it just means to stay, to remain. And you remain in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. He said, these things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. Oh, glory. How many want to stay on the straight and narrow? You don't want to be deceived. Amen. But we don't have to, because he said in verse 27, he says it again, but the anointing which you have received, that new nature on the inside of you that you received, that's why we spend time praying in the Holy Spirit, building ourselves up. Why? So that our inner man is stronger than our outer man. So that we have that discernment on the inside when we hear the lies of the enemy. So that we understand what God's word has said and we're not afraid. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we can stand firm. It says we've received him, abides in you, remains in you. You need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you will abide in him. You're going to remain in Jesus. Hallelujah. When we allow that inward man, that anointing that lives on the inside of us to bear witness with our own heart, we'll know what's true. When we hear something preached, I know that's the truth. I know it. Why? Because he lives in you. Amen. You can trust your inner man when you have received Jesus and abide in him and you're walking with him. Hallelujah. It says, and now, little children, remain in him, that when he appears, you may have confidence, and you're not going to be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Hallelujah. You know people that are born again, amen? They practice what's right. They do righteousness, not just we're the righteousness of God in Christ, but if you're righteous in Jesus, that righteousness is going to come out somewhere. It may take time, it may take effort, it may be a progression, you're going to continue to grow as we hear the word of God. And you're going to go from knowing your sins are forgiven to overcoming the enemy to becoming a father where you know him, where you know how he is. You know that he is love. You know that he is joy. He doesn't just have it, but he is joy. You realize that's the character of God. The very fruit of the Spirit that lives in you is the nature of God. It is his character. And he wants us to grow in it and to understand it and allow him to minister that to us in a relational way that when we hear him, and even if he has to correct us, his voice comes in peace and gentleness and says, this is the way. Stop what you're doing. Come follow me. I love you. I paid for you. I bought you. You're better than that, son. Come on. He said, I believe in you. God said, I'll walk with you. I'll cause you to overcome. I'll cause you to prevail. Hallelujah. I'll cause you to get the victory if you'll just stay with me. Don't leave me. Don't walk away, but come fellowship with me and let that joy that rises up on the inside of you be your strength. There's a strength in knowing him. There's a strength in fellowshipping with him. And there's a strength that he'll keep you from being deceived because you are in him. You're abiding in him. You're walking with him. You're allowing that presence, that anointing that lives in you to teach you. And a lot of times when we spend time praying in the Spirit, he said, what are you doing? You're speaking what? Secrets with God. In other words, the understandings of who he is, everything that he is in you, begin to come forward. The understandings of what he has done for you begin to be made real on the inside of us. The real price that's been paid, that he's greater than anything we face, that we can cast our care on him and we can walk in that victory, glory to God, and not be deceived. How many know? Jesus said one of the things of the last time is that men will come to try to deceive, try to draw men away from the faith, and try to overtake. And John is warning us here, don't listen to the lies. You've got someone on the inside of you you can trust now. You can pray. You can spend time in the Holy Spirit building up your faith. You know, building up yourself on your most holy faith that is on the inside of you. What was delivered to you at the beginning, the promises of God. Amen. Remain. Stay in these things. He said, and this is the promise that he's promised us, even eternal life. Glory to God, that you don't be deceived. Let that anointing teach you. Let the one that lives in you guide you. Let's not draw back, but let's keep pressing on. Amen? How many are going to stay? You're going to remain. Amen? Fixed, immovable in his truth. What he has said is going to settle it for you. Now, does that mean, well, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, because you didn't pray enough this week. We're not trying to condemn any person. Oh, you didn't do this enough this week or that enough. No, we're talking about let's not be deceived by the ways of the world. This world system, it can seep in. How many see it happening? All around. Some churches embrace it. Oh, well, that's all right. You know, I know you're not, you know, they're not doing what the Bible says. They don't know him. And the Bible said, Jesus had said to some of the, even the Pharisees, they didn't know him. He says, you're not walking the ways of God. You're just being religious, trying to keep every little jot and tittle, trying to lead men astray. You make them twice the son of hell that you are. Turn to him. Let him guide us. Let's fellowship with him. Amen. Let the joy of the Lord be our strength. Cast our cares on him, walking in the light as he is in that light. And let's have fellowship one with another and let the blood of Jesus cleanse us. Amen. From all sin. And walk free. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't think anybody here, I mean, if you're in habitual sin, I pray that you'll change and that you'll come to God and repent and let him help you. You know, we'll help you. If you're struggling with something, that's one thing, you know, but don't excuse it. Say, no, I know this is wrong, Lord. I'm struggling. I want to overcome it. If you have that, please come talk to us. Come talk to one of the leaders. Come talk to someone. And ask the Lord, you know, hey, we can help you. We can help you be strong. we can encourage you to spend that time with God. If you're struggling to get the truths of the Word of God into our heart, amen, and be that overcomer that God has made you to be. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to just stop right there today. We'll pick up some more as we go along, the Lord willing. We'll see where He takes us. You know, we may just, you know, we may get to some other things and come back to it, but we'll see where we go. See what the Holy Spirit does. I'm going to stop right now and see if, you know, let's just pray for a minute and then we'll move on, because I need to say some things as a family, all of us together. So please don't leave. Hang on online. So let's just pray for a minute. Father, we thank You for Your word today that we've been exhorted, Lord. We've been encouraged, Father. We've been strengthened, Lord God, from Your word that says, Lord, we can fellowship with You. We can walk in the light. We can be free from the sins of the world that go around us, Father. We can be righteousness in this earth. We can be a light, Father, for You to the world. You said Jesus is the light of the world, and we are the light of the world, Father. We want that light to shine bright, Father, as we fellowship with You. We cast our cares on You. We receive the joy that comes from that fellowship and the peace of God that passes all understanding. Hallelujah. And Father, we just surrender to You. Thy kingdom come, Lord. Your will be done in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. Fill us afresh today, Lord, with Your presence. Let that anointing that's in us rise up, Father, on the inside of us. And let us be saturated afresh with Your presence, with Your goodness, with Your faithfulness, with Your peace. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.